Well, one more time, I covet your prayers. I'll have to admit I'm pretty tired tonight. I coined a phrase when I had a breakdown in 06 in Shawnee. There was times I didn't even want to be in meeting, much less preaching. And I told him, I said, "Won't you do me a favor?" I said, "You pray, I preach." So I'm going to tell you the same thing tonight. You guys pray and I'll preach by the help of the Lord. Seeking the Lord for something this afternoon. Felt like he gave us something. Now it's going to be him to deliver it. This is the last service of this meeting. Have you got what you come for? Have you been fed, challenged, stirred? Have you got salvation, sanctification, divine healing? What did you come for? What's your purpose for being here? These meetings are held for the good of souls and the glory of God. These meetings are not just held to hear our heads rattle. These meetings are held to bless souls. Meeting's been going on a long time. I'm not really sure. Brother Philip, do you know when the assembly meeting started in Guthrie? I think the camp meeting started first. It's about 70, 80 years old, but I'm not really sure when the assembly meeting started. But we're going to open tonight in one of the most familiar scriptures in the Bible. 11th chapter of Matthew, 28th verse. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." And he said, "I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." This is the great universal call. The greatest call that has ever been given to mankind. Call from God. Call from Jesus Christ. Call by the Holy Ghost. For you and I tonight to be able to come unto somebody. The great Jesus, that he can help you. That he can bless you. That he can heal you. Give you anything you need tonight. That's the reason when we come to meeting, we come with needs. We come desiring. We come for blessings. But the bottom line is, it's up to you and I whether we get it or not. Because he says, come. But if we don't come, we're not going to get it. So come unto me. Come unto me, said Jesus Christ. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, he said, and I will give you rest. Now, number one, for a long time, I thought this scripture only applied to one person, one class of person, that was sinners. But I found out that ain't true. That applies to everybody in here tonight. Whether you're young or old, whether you're saved, sanctified, satisfied, whether you're a sinner, hypocrite, or backslider, it applies to everybody tonight. The Lord is telling us to come unto me. When we have children, what do we teach our children to do? To come. We tell them that. We teach them that. We work with them. Sometimes parents will say, "Well, if you don't come when I call, and if I start calling numbers or I start calling your middle name and I start calling your last name, it ain't going to be too good on you." We teach them. We get down and say, "We want you to come when we call." There's protection there. There's blessings there. There's comfort there. There's strength there. Because if they'll come to us, we can help them and bless them. Or we'll have a command for them, or we'll have something for them to do. But the bottom line is, when they get in trouble, we say, "Come." We take them into our arms. I was known as a doctor at our house. Seemed like all the stuff that needed to be done, that the doctoring side, if you want to call it that, I got to do it. Got to put on the band-aids and kiss all the boo-boos and all of that kind of stuff. Becky done some of it. But the harder stuff she wanted me to do. Well, the Lord specializes in everything. From the easy to the hard. From the smallest to the greatest. So tonight, if you'll come to him, if you'll say, "I come," If you'll say, I want you, if you will say, I need you, if you will lay prostrate before God, God will bless you tonight. He will help you. The last service, let's not let this meeting go off and not get what we come for, not get what we see we need, not get what is called for by the very Spirit of God for you and I to have. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Are you laboring tonight? There is people that labor under things for years. They keep things hid. They've got it covered up. Like I mentioned, Achan this morning. Achan had a deal. He covered it up, turned it in his tent and so forth. He coveted after that thing. It got him in great trouble with God. It was like one man said in a message one time many years ago at Monarch. He said it was like a rat running up and down inside. It's going up and down, bothering him, tormenting him, because he knew that he had done wrong. He knew he coveted this stuff. God told them what to do. And Achan did not do what God told him to do. It got him into great trouble. He carried that thing, not for too long, because when they went up against the country of Ai, the nation of Ai, however you want to say it, they got into trouble, and God exposed that thing real quick. You know, but there's people that have things that go unexposed, that the Lord wants it exposed. And it's up to you and I to reach out. It's up to you and I to move toward God. We can hide it all you want to, but what good's that going to do? Well, keep me out of trouble. No, it won't either. It can get you into greater trouble. I made a statement one time many years ago at Monarch. Last afternoon and last Sunday afternoon and so forth, and I said something about secrets and nobody knows it and so forth. And a person, a minister's wife, spoke up, and you might be surprised what they know. In other words, what she was saying was this: God knows everything, and he can reveal it to any minister he wants to. He can unload it and inspire it and so forth. There was a man one time that had done something bad way back under. There was a minister holding a meeting, revival meeting, and this man come to the altar two or three or four times, whatever it was, and he couldn't get victory. Finally, he told the minister, he said, I want you to pray to see what's hindered me. I don't know what it is. So the minister did. And he found out from the Lord what it was. That man had stolen a cow. What the deal was, the cow was a neighbor's cow, come over into his property. Instead of returning the cow, he kept the cow and sold the cow and kept the money and never told the neighbor about it, if I remember right. So the man said, did you get it? The minister said, yes, I did. He said, what is it? He said, you swallowed a red cow. And that man just dropped his head. He knew he'd been caught right there. We can cover things up, folks, but God can uncover them. He can give them. And there are many times in messages that people have come to meeting and the preachers got up and nailed them. 1, 2, 3, over and over and over. There have been preachers that said, I didn't know he knew my life so well. Listen tonight. When God does that, you and I need to respond to that and come to God and say, here am I, Lord, help me. I need to be uncovered. I need to be saved. I need to be delivered. I need to be blessed because the Lord has uncovered this thing that I've covered. And I didn't know I was going to get into all this. But uncover it and expose it. It may not be but the preacher and God and you. But the bottom line, you know that God has opened that thing up. And when he does, it's time to come. God calls. He works. Let me see if I can get us a scripture here. I hadn't thought about this one. Let's see here. It's in Job. I believe it is 33. Let me see here. Yes, 33. And about the 14th verse. 33 and 14 of the good book of Job. He said, for God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in a vision, in the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, in slumberings, upon the bed. Then he opened the ears of men, he sealeth their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride for man. He keepeth back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. He is chastened upon his bed, also is pain upon his bed. And the multitude of his bones with strong pain, so that his life abhorred bread and his soul dainty meat. His flesh is consumed away, that it cannot be seen. His bones that were not seen stick out. Yea, his soul draweth near unto the grave, his life to the destroyers. There be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand to shew unto this man his uprightness. Then he is gracious unto him and say, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. His flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. He will pray unto God. He will be favorable unto him. He shall see his face with joy, and he will render unto man his righteousness. That's it here, for God speaketh once, yea, twice. Yet man perceiveth it not. Then he goes to a dream, goes to a vision in the night, when deep slumbering, when deep sleep falleth upon men in slumberings upon the bed. Then he openeth the ears of men and seeth their instruction. God works. Amen. God works to help you and I to get the help that we need. But we just hold back. We just keep covering it up. We keep avoiding it. We keep turning it down. We keep going over it, so to speak. Achan did that till God totally exposed him. What about Ananias and Sapphira? They come in, they done something. Well, it didn't look so bad, but the bottom line was they done wrong, and God just dropped them dead just like that. That's the judgment of God. That's the wrath of God. God starts this way, and if man don't move, if man don't do what God wants him to do, God's got greater things that he can work with. He can give it to a preacher. He can give it to a teacher. He can give it in a song. He can give it whereby saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, said, I'll give you rest. I want to help you, child. I want to bless you. I want to comfort you. I want to give you what you need. Come unto me. Don't go to that doctor. Don't go to that psychiatrist. Don't go to that lawyer. I want you to come unto me. I want to help you. I want to bless you. I want to heal you. I want to give you what you need. And listen, Jesus can do anything we need him to do tonight if we're willing to reach out to God and say, here am I, Lord. Here am I. The Lord's saying, come tonight. Are we coming? Have we come? Have we reached out to God? Oh, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor heavy laden. He said, I'll give you rest. I love these scriptures right here. Another place he says over in Mark, I think it is a 10th and 53rd verse. Let me see here, 51, 10, 51, or 11, 51 of Mark. 11:51. Well, no, it's not neither. Well, anyway, we're talking about blind Bartimaeus. And blind Bartimaeus come to the Lord. All right, it is. I'm looking on the wrong page. It always reads right if I get in the right spot. The 10th chapter of Mark and the 46th verse, where blind Bartimaeus, the Lord come by and he was sitting by the highway side begging, and he heard that it was Jesus and so forth. But the most greatest scripture to me in the New Testament is the 51st verse where it said, Jesus answered and said to him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? What do you need? The blind man said to him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Jesus said to him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight, and he followed Jesus in the way. Listen, folks, tonight he's still telling us that, come. And what will thou? What do you need tonight? What do we need tonight? There ain't nobody in the United States or the world can give you what this can say. They can give you things. They can touch you, feed you, send you to doctors. They can buy you things. They can get you lawyers paid for. They can do a lot of things. But they can't do what Christ can do. He said, what will thou that I should do unto thee? At that time, blind Bartimaeus had a condition that nobody could help but Christ. Listen, folks, today, there's nobody that can heal spiritual blindness but Jesus Christ. There is people out there that is blind, blind spiritually, need help, need the workings of the Spirit of God to help them to see things right and to get into the place where they ought to be. And the only one that can do that is Jesus Christ. He said, come unto me. Woe thou, blind Bartimaeus, I need my sight. Well, come, and I'll give it to you. He cried unto the Lord. The people told him to be quiet, but he cried the deal greater. Listen, folks, today we need to be crying after God. We need to be saying, Lord, I want you. One of the songs was being touching when he passed by to touch him. Listen, folks, tonight we need to get right there. We need to touch him. Say, Lord, I want you more than anything else. It's time to quit running and playing. It's time to come and be what God would have us to be tonight. There ain't too many people playing games out there sometimes. God's not interested in games. He's interested in sincere salvation, sanctification, and desirous to live for him. You pray for us, because this is not what I thought I might preach. What I mean by that, I'm preaching, but I'm adding he's putting things in there I didn't know about. 1:18 of Isaiah. If you made something tonight, say you made a robot, and you sold it to somebody else, what would you tell them to do with it if it had problems? Now, nobody knows anything about this robot, but you do. And you sold it. Would you send it off to somebody that has no idea what to do with the robot? Somebody brought me one to work on. I'd look at them a little strange and funny because I wouldn't know what to do with it. I don't have the ability to work on a robot, I don't think, anyway. But the bottom line is, Jesus, when he works with us, when he saves us and delivers us and helps us, or even before he says, come to me. I made you. I created you. I know all about you. I know more about you than anybody else. And I want to help you. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Come now, let us reason together. The Lord is a reasonable God. You may say, oh, no, he's not. Oh, yes, he is. I've dealt with him for 46 years now, and I find him to be very reasonable. He's got one thing in mind. He died to get you to heaven, and he wants you to go there worse than you do. Yeah. So consequently, he's going to do everything he can do to get you saved, sanctified, satisfied, peace, joy, love, mercy, pity, compassion. He's going to do everything he can do to get you what you need. And you say, yeah, but he's requiring hard things. No, he's not. He's requiring what would hinder you. So consequently, when you come to him and he begins to lay down the hammer, so to speak, you need to reason with him. You need to agree with him. You need to say, yes, Lord, what would thou that I should do? What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? When Paul come to him, Paul wasn't no saint, folks. Paul was in trouble. He had killed people. He was putting them in jail. He was doing all kind of horrible things. And then the Lord began to deal with him. And he said, well, who art thou? He said, I'm Jesus of Nazareth that you persecuted. He said, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. There's too many people tonight kicking against the pricks, folks. They need to quit kicking. They need to quit bucking, faunching. And they need to come to the Lord and say, here am I. He said, here am I. What do you want me to do? I want you to go down to a certain place and go to a certain man's house, and I'll send somebody there. I want you to be there. And he struck him with blindness, and Paul went down, or Saul went down there, and then the Lord sent him a man to help him. He said, come now, let us reason together. Are you willing to reason with God tonight? I made a statement to a lawyer one time. We were talking about another person. He knew this person. I knew this person. And I said, they do some kind of strange things. And he looked at me and he said, Carl, all of us do some strange things. And I got to thinking about what Clyde said, and I could see his point. Every one of us is different. And we can look at another person and we can say, they're kind of strange. They're doing things like, I don't think they ought to do. But you come out of one area of the country and they come out of another area of the country and somebody else come out of another area of the country and you put them all in a congregation, that can be real interesting sometimes. I know I've been there, watched it for 40-something years, 30-something years. So folks, tonight when he says come, and he's dealing and he's working, he wants to get down to the minute things. He wants to get down to what you need, what your problem is. He's calling you to work with him and with you. And he's getting down there. He's saying, this is what you need to do. Come now, let us reason together. Are you willing to reason with God? This is God calling you to reason with him. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Come now. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be white as snow. No matter how dark, how bad the situation here, they can be made white. Though they be red like crimson, they can be as wool. And if you'll be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, if you get to that place where you're dealing with God, and you get there and God is laying his pinpointing finger on something and you're not willing to do it. If you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured. But if you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good. Oh, tonight, what do we want? Do we want the good? Do we want what God is calling for us? Do we want the good of the land? The Lord wants the best for you and I. He don't have second rates. Jesus has the best food, the best place, and everything for you and I to go. But we got to come and get it. Let's go to Genesis 7 and 1. You pray for us. The Lord said to Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark for thee. Have I seen righteous before me in this generation? Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, by male, the male and his female, of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female, of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. Come thou. This situation, this program, or whatever you want to call it, this working, let me put it this way, the workings of the Spirit of God concerning this have been going for over 120 years. It wasn't anything new. Noah knew what the Lord was doing when he told him, said, I'm going to cause it to flood and I want you to build an ark and here's what the dimensions need to be. I want you to lay it out this way and build it. And Noah went to work. And he built and he built and he built and he built and he built. And now then he's saying, come thou. And all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. One minister made a statement one time. He said the ark really was built for people. I'm just telling you what he said. But let me tell you something tonight. If you was out in an ocean and the boat that you was in had sunk and you was out swimming in the ocean, what would you do if something come by? Would you say, I don't want you just going by? Or would you say, help! I'm right over here, help me! There has been people that has been on rafts, that's been maybe on a piece of wood, that's been on something that could float for maybe 2 or 3 or 4 days waiting for a lifeboat to come by. Listen, the ocean is a mighty body of water. I don't know how many of you have seen the Atlantic, the Gulf, the Pacific, but have been involved in all of them. Lived by the Atlantic for almost 6 years. Watched the big ships going and coming out of the ports and so forth. They were awesome to stand and watch. We love to just watch them just kind of ease by. They're going into Charleston. They're going into the big port down there. That was number two, number three of all the ports in the country at that time. But you're in trouble. Listen, folks, there's a lot of people on the Sea of Life tonight that's in trouble. And there's a ship called the Ship of Zion, and it's coming by. And it's been rolling or sailing by in this meeting over and over and over, saying, come unto me. I can help you up into this ship. I can get you a permanent place in this ship. I can get you set where that you can go to heaven, praise God. Come on. Come unto me, all you that labor. I want to bless you and help you. I tell you, somebody's drowning in the sea. Somebody come by and throw them a life rope or a life raft or whatever. They're going to grab it, I'm pretty sure, pretty quick. But there is people that have, in the spiritual sense, have turned down the Ship of Zion many, many times down through the years. All right, let's go to John, the 11th chapter. Talking about Lazarus for a few moments here. John, the 11th chapter, 40th verse. And Jesus said unto her, let's go 39. Jesus said, take away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead for 4 days. And Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that thou may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Oh, tonight Lazarus was dead. There's a lot of people dead in trespasses and sin tonight. They've been in the old prison house of sin and the tombs of sin for a long time. And there's only one person can get them out. There's only one man can raise them from the dead. There's only one powerful great enough to do that. He said, Lazarus, come forth. I want to bless you, Mary. I want to bless you, Martha. I want to do what nobody else can do. Lazarus, come forth. Listen, he's calling tonight. Come forth. Get out of the tomb of the dead. Get out of there and come unto me and let me save you, see us, deliver you and bless you and help you. Whatever your needs are tonight, I want to do something for you. Praise God. Too many people laying in the tombs of the dead. Too many people in the prison houses of sin. The prisons here in Oklahoma are pretty full. Matter of fact, they're overpopulated, what I understand. But I got news for you. That quail pales in the face of the prison houses of sin. That prison houses has got millions and millions. And Jesus is calling, come. Jesus is saying, come forth. I want to deliver you. I want to bless you. He cried with a loud voice, come forth, Lazarus, come out of there. And he that was dead come forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto him, loose him and let him go. Tonight the Lord wants to loose everybody. He wants to loose them and let them go. Praise God. He wants to give them something they've never had. There is people out there that's moaning and groaning in sin. And the Lord wants to make you happy, redeemed, and free. And do things that nobody can do. Praise God. All right, let's bring it on now a little further. Luke 14. Luke 14, 15. I'm about through. I won't be much longer. Luke 14 and 15. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said to him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto them, a certain man had made a great supper and bade many. Sent his servants at supper time to say unto them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Now in John, the 21st chapter, and about the 12th verse, I was recently in South Carolina, about 3 hours north of where I used to live. Spartanburg, Greenville, the north part of the state of South Carolina. We had all gone out to eat one night. We were going to see something. And as we pulled out of the parking lot, there was another restaurant right over here, and they had a sign there, and it said on that sign, John 21 and 12. And I racked my mind. I thought, well, what is that? I couldn't just pull it to mind. It's all said 21, 12 of John. So the next morning, for my morning worship, I looked it up. And before it was over with, I was crying and shouting and singing because it says, come and dine. Come and dine. That's what the restaurant was saying. Come and dine. Oh, tonight Jesus said to men a great supper, and he went out and he said, come, and he bade many, listen, there's a meal tonight. There's something made by the great power of God that is better than cattleman steaks, baked potatoes and salad. It's the finest food that you could ever have, praise God, and it's open and calling, come and dine. I want to feed you. I want to bless you. You don't have to eat the corn husk down in the pig pen like the prodigal son did. You can have power. You can have food. You can have milk and steaks, mashed potatoes and bread. You can have everything that God wants you to have, but you got to come. Brother Egbert used to, when I worked with him, when they'd call his time to eat, he'd say, listen. He said, let's get in there. We don't want to keep the cooks waiting. Let's go eat right now, Brother Carl. Come on. Well, Jesus is saying, don't keep me waiting. Come on and eat, folks. Come on and eat. It's time to eat. Come and dine. Oh, but he said over here in the 14th chapter, he said, come, for all things are now ready. Listen, the gospel dispensation is now. It's the day of salvation. Now is the time to get the blessings, to get what Jesus Christ had for you. Come and dine. I want to feed you. I want to bless you. I want to eat with you. I want to set you down at the greatest bread that's ever been set for mankind. It was something that the prophets and so forth, they couldn't look into like you and I can. They couldn't experience it like you and I can. We've got blessings that they never had, praise God. But it said they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said to him, I bought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. Another flat out said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came, showed his lord these things, and the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there's room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Now, folks, one bought a piece of ground. One bought 5 yoke of oxen. Another said, I married a wife. Listen, folks, the greatest excuse you can come up with is not good enough when it comes to Jesus Christ. You can give him any excuse you want to. Now, I'm a businessman. Been doing it for many, many years, since I was in my 20s. And the bottom line with, I can see on a natural business standpoint what these guys are getting at. But the bottom line is, when it comes down spiritually, it don't hold water. It don't hold water. It's not going to work. When he says come, he means come now. Now is the day of salvation. We can put it off if you want to. But listen, there's been many a people that have been spared hellfire and brimstone because Jesus called them. They responded not too long before they died and went out in eternity. And these men made an excuse. And he said, I say unto you that none of these men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. I'm going to go out there and get those that are not making excuse. I'm going to compel them. I'm going to plead with them and so forth. Listen, the Lord has been compelling in this meeting for people to come in to get to the table and to eat, to come in and get what they need, to come in and get the blessings, and they keep turning it down. He said, come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden. Said, I'll give you rest. Oh, tonight, what do we need? What are we carrying? How big is the load? A number of years ago, we were in Texas. Around Longview. I may have the wrong town, but it was in East Texas down there off of 20. And we went in and we were looking for gas. And we had gone this road many times. We knew pretty well where the good places was to buy gas. And as we was driving down the street, we saw a huge dump truck. And I'm not talking about just any dump truck. This thing was a monster. It was so high up that I could almost walk under it and never bow my head. That was the bottom of it. It had huge tires. Had a huge bed, had a big old cab. I don't know what the motor was like. But it was sitting out there kind of on a demonstration, and we stopped. We took a picture of it, if I remember right. It was big. It was big enough to carry anything. Folks, we carry too much ourselves that we need to give to God that's big enough to carry it. That's big enough to take care of it. He said, cast on me all your care. No, I ain't quoting that quite right. Cast on me all your care. No. Casting all your care upon him, for he cared for you. Thank you. Casting all your care, not some of it, a part of it. He said, come, I want to help you with your care, your burdens, your load. Come unto me and give it to me. Cast it to me. Turn it over to me. Surrender it to me and let me work with it. Have you done that in this meeting? All right, let's wrap it up. 22 and 17 of Revelations. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. This is open to everybody now. And the Spirit and the bride, everybody, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, and the church, everybody's saying, come. And let him that is athirst come. Are you thirsty tonight? Do you need some drink? All right, let's wrap it up in Isaiah 55 and 1 and 3. Isaiah 55, and we'll be through. Ho! Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that had no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. He's got everything we need. Everything. Everyone that thirsteth. I got one more scripture coming to mind. I don't have this one written down. John, the 7th chapter, and about the 37. 7 and 37 of St. John said, in the last day of that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. It said, if any man thirst, let him come. Are you thirsty tonight? Are you hungry tonight? And he said, everyone that thirsteth, come ye. The Lord is saying, come. We started with coming to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And we're ending up in the new and the old. And it's saying, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Several years ago, a man came to our house. We lived in South Carolina. And what he was doing was in kind of a water softener purifying system he was selling. So he come there, and he talked to us for a little while. And then he said, well, I want to test your water. So we got him some water, and he sat there, and he worked with it and done all of his little things, and he checked it all out. And he said, I want to tell you, folks, you've got very, very good water. It took all the salesmanship out of him, Brother Philip. He quit trying to sell us anything. It took the salesmanship out of that old boy. And he told us that a woman told him, he was in another house sometime, I don't remember when, and she was drinking bottled water. He said, well, let me test that bottled water. So he tested it, and he said, folks, it was not any good at all. He said, your water is very, very good. Well, Utahville, South Carolina touted themselves in good water, so I guess we had it. Tasted pretty good anyway. But this is better. Come ye to the waters, he that thirsteth, and he that had no money. Come ye buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk. Without money and without price, it's paid for by the blood of the Lamb, by the death of Jesus Christ. He is giving this free. We have to give all, but the bottom line was, if we give, he gives, and he'll give us something that nobody else can give us, praise God. Where do you spend money for that which is not bread? Listen, folks, tonight, there is people tonight that is spending money on stuff that's not worth anything. What is it that Moses said over there? Let's see, let's get that Hebrews 11 chapter. He said there that I can't quote it all. But he said, choosing rather to suffer the affliction, to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the sin, the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Listen tonight. He said he'd rather suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He said, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? Listen, folks, tonight, a man called me a number of years ago. He had gotten saved and was living for the Lord. And I don't remember why he called me. But the bottom line is, we got on what he used to do in sin. And he used to go to the New Orleans Saints football games. And he said, I spent literally thousands of dollars going to them games. And he said, you know what? I'd like to have that back to give to the church. He spent something for that was not bread. He wasn't getting what God had for him. He was out there enjoying sin. Moses said, I want to enjoy the riches of God. I want to enjoy what he has. I want to eat at his table. Listen, folks, tonight, the greatest table that you and I can eat at is a table that says, come and dine, that's been laid out by the power of God, the blood of the Lamb, for you and I to eat at day in and day out. Listen, folks, I said that morning, I was crying, I was shouting, I went on my phone, I pulled up the couple of songs that was coming down, and to my surprise, it was pretty good coming off the deal like that. But the bottom line is, I thought, Lord, you've been feeding me over and over and over for many, many years. Years, praise God, because we have the privilege of eating the finest food at the finest table, and he's saying, come unto me and eat. Eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Oh, tonight, come unto me. Come unto me, he said. The Spirit and the bride says, come. And I'm trying to quit. The Lord is saying, we've gone through this whole meeting, and there's still some needs to be met, and the Lord wants to meet them for you. He wants to bless you. He wants to help you. But you're going to have to come. Come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let's stand and have a song. I appreciate your prayers, your attention, your time tonight. Pray for me.